Under the Radar, bringing movies and people together, one frame at a time. Hey guys, I'm Rand Younger, and it's another episode of Under the Radar, bringing movies and people together, one frame at a time. And with me, as always, I have a lovely group of guest critics with me tonight. We have my favorite power couple, Rachel Kolb and Eric Godfrey. Hey guys, how you doing?
Hi, happy to be back.
And Mr. Chris Clemente back for more action. Hello, sir.
How's it going?
Good, good. Tonight, we are going to discuss the Oscar nominations, which just came out yesterday. And there is a ton to talk about. We've got some really great insight into who the winners might be, who was sadly snubbed, and some of the surprises along the way. But personally, I was not so surprised because it pretty much feels like the Golden Globes all over again. And I just wanted to go down a couple of the main categories, the biggies, I say, starting with Best Picture. Now, this is a juicy topic, of course. It always is. And it's 10 films in contention for the top prize. I actually stayed up pretty late last night and today, cramming every Best Picture nomination into my viewing so I could be up to date. But first off on the list, we have in alphabetical order, American Fiction. This movie I saw the other night, and it stars Jeffrey Wright as a struggling writer who basically is getting he's having a hard time selling his most recent novel. His publisher basically says that it's not black enough. So he kind of changes it a little bit into more of a quote unquote black voice. And it actually starts selling and he becomes very popular. But it's actually his alias that becomes popular, not the actual author. And it's a very interesting film. It's a dramedy through and through. It's touching, it's funny, and it's really well acted. I don't know. Have you guys seen American Fiction?
Sadly, not yet.
Okay. Yeah, I have not. But it's funny that Jeffrey Wright is up for an Academy Award this year because I felt like with French Dispatch I said after French Dispatch, I said they just need to give him the right part, and he's gonna potentially go all the way with the Academy Awards.
Okay.
And yeah. I feel like this really plays to a lot of his strengths. Like he's a very, very gifted dramatic and comedic actor.
Yeah. And he plays a very likable character in this movie. And the supporting cast is also fantastic. Sterling K. Brown is, I think he's nominated as well for Best Supporting Actor for his role in this. He plays Jeffrey Wright's brother in the film. Yeah, it's not very heavy-handed. It's kind of like an easy digestible film, and it's likable, and the performances were really top-notch.
Oh, and someone pointed this out on Facebook, and I had not noticed this. Every movie that Issa Rae was in a starring role in this year was nominated for an Academy Award.
That's so weird. But yeah, that's all, and she's great. She has a very small part in American Fiction. And I actually just started watching Insecure, which is pretty good too. Yeah, Chris, haven't seen American Fiction yet, have you?
I have not, but I've seen the trailer and the marketing materials around it, and totally agree with what Rachel said about Jeffrey Wright. He is such an underrated actor, and I agree with that statement that given the right role with the right material, he could just go all the way with it. So it doesn't surprise me that this movie is getting attention and that he's getting attention too. So, yeah.
And this is definitely making my top 10 of the year. All right. Next up, we've got Anatomy of a Fall, which is very different from American Fiction. And this is a strange one. It's both in English and French. And it is, sort of foreign film about a mysterious death. This gentleman, basically the father of a family, he falls and he dies, and basically the entire film is trying to figure out what the heck happened to this guy. How did he die? Was it murder? Was it accidental? Was it suicide? And it's a very, very heavy film. It's long. It's I think it's over 2.5 hours. and there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of court sequences and a lot going on. It's a strong film as well, but it's not exactly a feel good. Just let FYI, you guys. did you guys see this one?
No, but I've been hearing about this ever since it came out.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah. The same for me too.
Check it out when you can, but just go in with a little, you know, disclaimer because it's a little much at times.
And, I mean, to be fair, that's always kind of one of the guilty things about Oscar is that comedies and especially genre don't tend to land a lot on the radar. It's always a major criticism every year that the most important ones are the most dramatic ones. And I'm not saying that they aren't, but that's always been a weakness of Oscars, that they tend to stick to the hard dramas more, like with exceptions. And yeah, I think that's one of the, that's, you know, that was what the whole expansion to 10 films instead of 5 films was supposed to help alleviate.
And next up we have the total opposite of Anatomy of a Fall.
Yes.
It's a little movie called Barbie. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a small movie.
Which defeats everything I just said about Oscar.
right. And obviously I believe we reviewed this Rachel, right? Together.
Did we? Yes, we did with Mannequin.
Yeah, that was a fun one. So I don't think we really have much to say about this other than there's two big snubs with this movie. We've got so basically fantastic female director Greta Gerwig crafted this really cool movie, really interesting. It spans many genres. It's thought provoking. It's well acted. It's beautiful. It's pink, and she was robbed of an Oscar nomination.
Yeah.
Rachel, I know you're passionate about this. What do you think about that snub?
I mean, it's absolute nonsense. Like it's gotten to the point that both of the acting nominees for the movie, America Ferrera and Ryan Gosling, have come out and made statements about this. As someone very succinctly pointed out, this is the plot of the movie, that Ken gets nominated and Barbie doesn't.
That's
funny. You know, I feel like every like 10 years or so, you'll go through a list of movies and be like, oh, was that nominated that year? And then you'll look back and be like, wait, that person wasn't nominated? Like,
Barbie has already cemented it's going to be sticking around in the popular culture for a while.
I mean, it's that rare exception of it's the biggest movie of the year. And, you know, it blew out just every box office, most popular thing. Mm-hmm. And it's the fact that it's that popular, it is that good. And it's like the rare combination of the most popular and definitely one of the best films of the year.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I don't think it's Oscar caliber per se. I think it's a really fun movie, really well acted. I can't say, and the Oscar goes to Barbie. It just does not sound right. But hey, it's all right.
Fireworks go on.
Yeah.
That was me last year waiting for Top Gun Maverick to win the Oscar.
The same thing.
Both of which brought people back to the movies.
Yeah.
So I'll give you that.
Tom Cruise flying in to get his Oscar.
And now, Chris, I know you, I don't know if you've seen it yet, or I know we've been talking about this movie.
Yeah. For no, absolutely. Yeah. No, I adored Barbie and.
No.
I have to disagree with you, Randy. I think this is. Well, Oscar material. I think it's a very important film, in all categories, like in all calibers of the sense. It's hitting, you know, it's hitting sex relations. It's hitting image. It's hitting, you know, feminism topics. It's hitting, you know, ideologies with how we view ourselves and the self psyche. It's image, you know, the whole concept of Barbie and what that means. It's a fantastic film, and it like Rachel and Eric mentioned with Greta Gerwig, like it was so shocking to see her not get that. It's such an important film, and she's such a unique actress and director, and this idea all came from her, and that idea blossomed into this huge, huge success that really saved cinema this year. You know, like it's between that and Oppenheimer, but this in particular, just like you said, it was like the Maverick of last year, where you have, you know, keeping cinema, keeping Hollywood alive, and to have her have no recognition for it. It's sad. You know, it's sad. Yeah. It's everything that the movie's not. So
it's definitely a slap in the face from the Academy. I don't know what the voters were thinking with that, but yeah, it happened. But thankfully we recognize it. The critics here, we know true talent is.
I think another reason why is because of the fact that it's like Greta has this year in this movie really cemented her as kind of the new celebrity director. You always have like a Chris Nolan, a Scorsese, a George Lucas, a Spielberg, the one where the director himself or themselves is the star, like, ooh, like directed by is such a big deal. And the fact that like you even saw like when with SNL, even Greta Gerwig was there. Like, it's the fact that people know her. They know of her, and it's like, it's she's already done plenty of work both as an actress and a director before, but I feel like this cemented her as now a celebrity. Right. Like people, it's like a Greta Gerwig film will like be an advertising slogan now for her upcoming projects.
Basically she's got the keys to the kingdom, like, and that kingdom is Hollywood.
And I think that's why that's such a glaring omission, especially like, and I really think that's going to be a black mark on the Oscars this year.
And I know that we need to move on to the other nominees. I will say very quickly that I think it's very telling that Margot Robbie has said that she's going to be taking a step back from acting for a bit and focusing on producing and working behind the scenes, because as she put it, she said, I think everyone's going to be sick of seeing me after this year, which is such a sad statement, because you see this time and time again with actresses that break out and have massive success. People like, for example, Jennifer Lawrence, who just this past year really came back to big mainstream movies.
Right.
And it's especially sad that she is the face of the Barbie movie, and that the Barbie movie would not work without her, but she got snubbed for Best Actress.
Well, I think it's nominated for Best Screenplay.
Adapted screenplay. Yes.
Adapted. Okay. Okay.
They're classifying Barbie as adapted screenplay, and not original, and that's kind of creating a little bit of a stir. I mean, it definitely should be original. I mean, it is such a unique concept.
Next up, we've got the Holdovers, which I absolutely loved. It's on my top 10 of the year as well, and I think you guys agree as well.
It is right now my pick for Best Picture.
Number one for you? Nice.
It is my pick.
That was my number one, but a certain film bumped it down to number two, and that film was Poor Things, which is currently, and I don't know, it may remain my number one for the year. And I don't know, have you guys seen it yet?
Sadly, no, but I'm a big fan of Iago, so I'm very much wanting to see it.
Yeah, and another major snub, Willem Dafoe not getting nominated for
Very Poor sad Things. About that. Yeah, he was great.
I did see Poor Things. Loved it. Loved
it. You did?
It's definitely in my top five. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Discussing the Holdovers, that's two on my list. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And what else we got here? Oh, Killers of the Flower Moon. I was not impressed with, to be honest. It was what, 3.5 hours about? And, you know, it was dull. There were two saving graces. Lily Gladstone, who's up for Best Actress in a leading role, and she's probably going to win. And Robert De Niro in a pretty fantastic supporting role.
I'm going to have to hardcore disagree. Okay. I loved this movie. We put it on with the notion of, you know, knowing the lengthier runtime, that we were going to be like, well, at least start it. Mm-hmm. And like, maybe do it like The Irishman, where we do it in segments. And next thing we know, it's the credits were rolling, because we were just so in tune with this movie for all 3.5 hours. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of Aviator, because the last time I was just sucked in to a Scorsese movie that even though it's 3.5 hours, I'm just like, I'm there. I'm loving this. And I loved Killers of the Flower.
I thought it was a beautiful film. I thought Oklahoma? They shot it beautifully. Mm-hmm. You know, had a great aesthetic about it. The performance were good. Another complaint for me, which is surprising, it's even surprising to me, but Leonardo DiCaprio, it seems like he kind of just phoned this one in. And I feel like any other...
I think I might disagree with you about that.
Oh my God, I'm not getting a lot of love tonight.
But that's okay. It's okay to have disagreements about arcs. It's about performances.
I think any other A-list or even any B-list actor could have done that performance. And I mean, I love Leo, but this one I was just uninterested about what he was bringing to the table, because it's sad because he's always very reliable as an actor. But this one, I don't know, I was just disappointed with this movie.
I think the reason I would disagree with you on this, especially DiCaprio, and I can't speak for Rachel, but what's nice is I feel like the problem is that for a lot of the stuff that he's been getting more noticed for, like Revenant, has been more of his bigger and louder. And so it was kind of nice having him step back and be subtler and be quieter and still actually have teeth to it. And so not having this larger than life character and not having like these big blow up moments, like these big, like huge rage moments like DiCaprio kind of got noticed for, and have him be this idiot.
And a violent idiot.
And to actually see him play that is why I think I liked him so much in this, as opposed to kind of the other things he's been getting noticed more of late.
I didn't like the movie at first either. And I think I'm toying with, now that it's percolating my brain a little bit more, there's certain elements that got better. And I think his performance, Leonardo DiCaprio's performance, is justified by the dummy. He's the henchman. And it actually is interesting because there was a lot of comparisons made to The Irishman, and how Robert De Niro and The Irishman kind of played Leonardo DiCaprio in Flower Moon, and how like their roles switch. So like each of them got a taste of playing the heavy guy, the heavy lackey guy. Yeah. So the lackey. Yeah. So I toy back and forth with the film. I could see how it's getting so much love, and I can respect that. It's not my favorite Scorsese, and it was kind of difficult for me anyway to kind of withstand the runtime. But I could just be me. I get a little antsy after 3 hours.
But I do feel that Lily Gladstone will win Best Actress. Which is great for indigenous people.
I think Emma Stone might take that from her. But I think it's going to be a coin toss between Emma and... that's the thing. I think a lot of categories are genuine coin tosses.
Yeah. So next up, we've got Maestro, which was decent as well. Didn't blow me away. But I did
that love... one is carried by the performances.
Yeah, again, for sure. And the makeup effects were actually really, really good with making Bradley Cooper look like he's in his 70s. And there's a really close up of Bradley Cooper's neck, like the side of his face, and his neck is like very leathery, and it looks so good. So I really hope that the film wins for at least makeup. So we'll see. Also, we've got, of course, Oppenheimer. I think Oppenheimer is going to take the big prize, Best Picture.
I think there's a huge potential that it could.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. I think this is Nolan's masterpiece.
Yeah. I agree. It's my number one of the year. Like when I think of this year, I think of Barbenheimer, definitely.
Yeah.
And for me, like just Oppenheimer, with such a gorgeous just feast to look at in the theater. Yeah. When I look back at 2023, I think of that movie. Even though, you know, Greta Gerwig should get that nomination, and it might go to Nolan, you know, I think it's still well worth it, and it's just a phenomenal.
I think Killian was in the running to play Batman in Batman Begins.
Yeah.
He auditioned, yeah.
Yeah, did he?
Yeah, but quickly was like, nah, I don't think of this for me.
He gave a fantastic performance.
You know that, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so next up we have a movie I actually saw literally an hour before we started recording. And this movie is called Past Lives.
And I'm so excited to see this.
It's so sweet. It's by A24 Films, so that should tell you something right off the bat. It's a great like romantic drama which spans the course of decades, basically focusing on these two kids, a boy and a girl in Seoul, Korea, meeting each other when they're like in their 20s, and then another 12 years later after that when they're adults, like, you know, 30 at this point. You know, I don't want to give much away, but it's just a really tender, really realistic love story, and it just feels genuine and and just really, it's well acted. And I highly recommend it. It's a good date night movie. All right. So Poor Things is a crazy movie. I went through Yorgos Lanthimos's almost his entire filmography. And he's got kind of like this foreign Tim Burton vibe about him, which I love. You can definitely see that sci-fi fantasy element in Poor Things, which makes it such a strong film, both visually and the message that it carries. So yeah, Chris, have you seen? Yeah, you've seen Poor Things.
I have. But, it's phenomenal.
Yeah,
and Emma Stone. She gives such a great performance. And
okay, and the last film on the list of Best Picture is The Zone of Interest. You know, I actually saw this a couple weeks back at the Museum Moving Image. It's about a Nazi and his family that live basically next to a concentration camp. It's an interesting movie for sure, to say the least. It focuses on, like, they basically seem like a normal family. The patriarch just happens to be a Nazi. And it depicts this this family as just like a kind of a wholesome, you know, the kids are playing. The mother, you know, she's got her girlfriends and she chats with, she has a drink, you know, hanging out in the backyard. But then in the background, you see chimneys of, like, you know, it's just a really like a weird juxtaposition of images. Like, you've got this like a wholesome family, but then in the background, you see these atrocities like going on, like in the background. It's just, it's heavy at times. But it's a beautiful film. I think it's shot almost as well, if not better, than Oppenheimer. It's, again, not a feel-good, but a very, very important film, I'd say, and strong in its message. That is our list of Best Picture, and I think it's a strong list this year. I'm excited March 10th to see what happens. The films in this list are so varied and so good, so they stick with you. Yeah, who do you guys want to win Best Actor?
I think almost every category is a coin toss. I think it's either going to be Giamatti or Murphy.
I think,
yeah, and,
yeah.
Yeah, I love both of them. I would be happy with both of them, but my heart's with Giamatti. I think he killed it. I think this is also a culmination of his career.
It feels like he's going to win, and I hope he does, because he was just awesome in this. Yeah. And his first film in almost 20 years since Sideways with Alexander Payne. Also, really, really awful snub. Best director, a nomination should have gone to Payne. And I'm really sad about that, because he did a great job with this film.
And the underdog that I would love to see some is Colman Domingo, because that just that made that's a delightful nomination. He was amazing in Rustin.
Another really important film with a great message. He was great in that. He was also fantastic in The Color Purple, which we didn't really talk about tonight.
Very, very different roles for Colman Domingo in both those.
With The Color Purple, I kind of want to just, like, you know, segue into that. Danielle Brooks was fantastic in that supporting role. But at the same token, Daveen Joy Randolph was also great in The Holdovers. Mm-hmm. So I don't know who's... I think it's between those two lovely ladies for Best Supporting Actress, to be honest.
Yeah.
I would love for Daveen Joy to win for Holdovers. She
has my heart for that category.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was phenomenal.
But again, I think Danielle Brooks has a great shot too.
Yeah.
Best actress, I would say, we covered this. Lily Gladstone or Emma Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Supporting actor, I think Robert Downey Jr. is going to win for Oppenheimer.
Yeah, as much as I would be fine with Gosling winning for Barbie,
I would love for Ryan Gosling to win it for Barbie and then immediately hand it off to Margot and Greta. Just cede his time to the both of them.
That would be really sweet. I love that idea.
That's awesome. But no, I think this is Downey's, but Gosling, just.
And also, Chris, I don't know if you're going to agree with me on this one, but Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things. What did you think?
I mean, he was phenomenal too in that. I do think it's going to be Downey Jr. For that. I think he really was a chameleon in that role, and I think it really just set him apart from all the Marvel movies that he's done as Iron Man. So
yeah.
So I think
It kind of
I find it funny with Downey Jr. because like he's made Marvel into what it was, and he kind of contributed to this comic book hero fatigue going on, and then like he's like, oh, I think that phase of movies are over, so I'm out.
Yeah,
here's the next phase of my career, and he gives a performance like this.
I know. Well, he's a really great actor, but it's just that he went after the money grab with Iron Man and then Marvel Universe. He needs to do.
He is, and what's great about this film, and I remember seeing an interview with him, and he said that Nolan's note for him was, you know, forget that witty charm of yours. Like, this is like, don't do Tony Sparks. Like, it's going to be, you know, do this, you know, do something more subtle. And, you know, he is that type of actor. I kind of equate him with like Ryan Reynolds, like, or Ben Affleck. Like, they're not great in everything, but Downey is great, but he's kind of got lost in this witty persona.
And
you think roles like this shows how much of a great range he does have.
And I'm really glad that he went this route, because I don't really want to see Tony Stark anymore. I'm done with it. But anyway.
Yeah, no, it had its good run, but now, you know, you just want to see variety in an actor with those, you know, chops, and I think it's great. Yeah. You know, I think it's great that he took a role like this.
Indeed. Okay, so I think we're Team Downey Jr., so that's good.
Yes.
All right. All right, that's supporting actor. Next up. Okay, we did supporting actress. Okay, last but not least, best director. I think it's unanimous. I think Christopher Nolan's going to win it, and rightfully so. He knocked it out of the park with Oppenheimer. It's a big film.
Yeah, I think this one's pretty firmly. I would put my money on Nolan.
Yeah. Yeah, I would put my money on Nolan only because of the fact that Greta is not in that category.
Yeah, agreed.
I did love Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things. I think he has a very interesting eye, and like I mentioned, I did see a bunch of his films previously, and he's definitely an auteur, as it were. And he's not going to win this year, I don't think, but I think he has a good shot maybe in the future. So he's definitely a strong director. Same, obviously, with Scorsese. I mean, it's Scorsese. What can you say? I thought he did a great job with this film. It's not one of my favorite films of the year, but I think he shot it beautifully. And kudos to Marty and his entire team. So we definitely went over time with this movie, unfortunately. But I want to thank everyone for joining me tonight. This was really cool. It was a great preamble to the actual awards ceremony, which is March 10th on ABC. I should work for ABC. I'm promoting it. But I hope to see you guys in person for my Oscar party, my Oscar watch party. And we have negative 10 minutes because we have done. But really quick, I just want to do some plugs. Chris, anything going on, any projects?
Just wrapping up some writing for We Got This Covered. So check out We Got This Covered and anything from the gamers group.
Cool. Awesome. Yep. Always busy. Good, sir.
Always.
Yes. Always be closing. my favorite power couple, what's going on, Rachel?
You can find me on Instagram at Second Act Bake Shop. You can find Dobby on Instagram at Dobby the House Doggo. And you can find me over at the Law of Donut Engineering in Jersey City Heights. Come on over for donuts and for cinnamon rolls, and got some things that we're cooking up. So.
And Eric, I think I know
you. Yeah, I'm just passing back to Rachel on that one.
Just supporting.
Yep.
All right, guys. And as for me, you can check out new episodes of Under the Radar, of course, on Slam Radio SXM through Sirius Radio Channel 145, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Also, the video version of the podcast will be up, and that's on Manhattan Neighborhood Network every Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. And feel free to subscribe to the Under the Radar YouTube channel and share the love. So guys, thank you again, and I hope to see you soon. I'll definitely see you probably for Oscar night. All right, guys, I'm Randy Unger. This has been Unger the Radar, bringing movies and people together one frame at a time. We'll see you next time. Take care.